out of the book of Matthew and the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter what? Chapter 5. You got it. Okay. I hope you've looked at this. Great lesson here today. And glad to have Brother Wesley Sewell here. He's been a blessing to be around here, hadn't he? You ought to have been here in chapel, and then he just nailed it down Wednesday night, man. Everybody didn't jump up and shout, but he just went right on. I said, you're going to have to do that if you preach, ain't you? You have to go right on. We appreciate him, and he's going to stay around a few days. I don't know. He's got to go home. And Brother Wes has a ministry he works at on the street. He goes to different towns and just gets there in the town square or on the street corner and just lets her fly. And he's run into a few bumps in the road. You know, everybody don't like that. He's been threatened to be locked up a few times. I mean, you know, they can get out there half naked, nothing happened, but you get out there preaching, they'll put you in jail. Now, something's wrong with this picture, huh? But he's going to be there and out and around. I think he's going to go down in Hazard there in the county where Brother Dwayne Allen is. They're trying to make it's a dry county, and they're wanting to make it not dry. And so they're going out there and have a little street meeting to try to educate people on the ills of rock gut liquor. Amen. And the Bible said don't even look on it when it moveth itself. And so he's going to go out there and tell them out there and preach to them a little bit on the street. How many will pray for him? How many like to have a ministry like that? Well, let's pray for him. Why don't you say before God calls you out there? Amen. All right, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 5. Glad to have all the visitors. If I overlooked you, it was just accidental, because I am so glad that you are here today. All right, I want you to look. We're going to go to verse number 6. We have dealt with several things already. And really, if you really want to know how to live, just listen to this. This will tell you. Christ, he knew what life was all about and what it was to live right. And so he talked about blessed are the poor in spirit, those that are humble and realize there's shortcomings and go to God. Those that realize blessed are those that mourn, those that are sorry for their sins, amen, and repent of them. They shall be comforted. Then blessed are the meek. And, you know, we taught about meekness. And, you know, I feel that people, they honor this and admire this trait, but we don't really want to practice it that much. Because, you know, it does the flesh some good when you get mad to vent somewhere. I mean, it don't do anybody else any good, and it really don't do you ultimately good. But the old flesh is pleased when we stand our ground and take our part. Flesh likes that, don't it? But, you know, the Bible said to be carnally minded is death. How many knows it didn't say anything else about that but that? The carnally minded is death. So we want to be spiritually minded. So we've got to ask God, help us, God, to be humble. Not weak, but meek. Amen. How many knows Christ is our great example? He was meek and lowly. Amen. But he wasn't weak, and he wasn't a coward. He was all man. Amen. Praise God. Now I want you to look at the next, and we're going to talk to you about this. And it's a very important lesson. And it says, blessed are they. And that word blessed, of course, means happy, fulfilled, satisfied. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Amen. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, I want to know before we get started, how many are still on this blessed wagon? You still want to be part of it? All right, so here we go. Blessed is he that hunger. Now, I want you to see the object to be desired here. What is the object to be desired? Righteousness. How many think you know what righteousness is? How many think you know what righteousness is? Oh, we're in trouble here. Now, there's a word in righteousness. Now, see, we automatically disqualify ourselves from this right off the bat. You say we do? Yep. Yep. I feel people dropping off the wagon. Plop, 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 plop. Yep. Oh, I can't do it. And here's what we say. Ah, we're only human. Now, I know I'm not a scientist. I never did like science. But I do know enough about the human anatomy to know that you're humans. I know the difference in a human and a dog and a cat and a monkey. But really, is that an excuse just to say we're humans? I know humans are pitiful creatures, but Christ died to make us righteous. Now, whoa, I feel like preaching a little. This won't take long. A little vaccination here. It'll go right to the bloodstream. We'll be out of here before you know it. But listen to this. Hey, God gave his only son. But now, listen, we get all of y'all together. Take a little survey. I want you to write down what it means to be righteous. And if you just leave it out there and let everybody give their opinion and human rationale and reasoning, you'd have so many different ideas. But what is the standard? What's the standard? I said, what is the standard for righteous living? Right living. The word righteous, if I could say it like this and you hang on to it, righteous living, amen, is living right. Well, what is right? In the eyes and will and mind of God Almighty. That's what right is. You know, we're living, as Brother West preached so great to our young people and to us the other night, truth now is relative. Now, what does that mean? It's a word, it's hard for me to say relativism, but that's the word, relativism. And what that means is, in our society, they have just about thrown the Bible out. They put it on the shelf with the Koran, and they put it on the shelf with the Reader's Digest. They put it on the shelf with Shakespeare's writings. They put it on the shelf with Charles Dickens and the classics, and that's all it is. But the Bible is much more than that. It is our roadmap and our plan and our standard of right living. Now, the Bible said this. The goal is righteous living. Now, that is for every last one of us in here. If you want to be blessed, if you want to be happy, if you want to be, amen, right with God, here's the key. But I want you to notice what it said. The Bible said, blessed is he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness. Now, did you ever notice, y'all that raised kids, I've half raised five, amen, and I watch those little young'uns. Mothers do this more than fathers. But you watch little kids, and I noticed even my grandchildren have it in that. The other day we was getting ready, I am not a good cooker in the traditional sense. On a stove and an oven and dishes that need washing and all that, forget it. I don't like doing all that. But now grilling out, I can handle. Just put a little foil on that grill. Don't have to wash that thing much. Huh? Put on some clean. Now, y'all probably wouldn't want to eat my food when I get done here. But I throw that aluminum foil over that grill, and I get that chicken out there, or that pork chop. Now, if we got any Jews here, just forgive me, but I love pork on the grill and at barbecue. And I'll tell you that baby Ray's is the best if you're going to put it on there. That sweet baby Ray's. Now, that's some good barbecue sauce out there. You put that on there. But I've noticed some little kids, long about supper time. Now, on my counter, I have this weakness. Now, I don't smoke or drink or dip or nothing like that, but I have a weakness for candy bars. And I like the seasonal candy bars. At Christmas, I like them cordial cherries, man, them Queen Anne's. Woo! And then at Easter time, I like them marshmallow eggs. And I like them, are they Cadbury caramel eggs? Woo! Boy, those are good. And I tell you one I found, and you can't hardly find it no more. Harold, Brother Harold, if you can find one of these, I'll give you a dollar for it. But I like the Mar, what was that candy bar? Mellicup. Anybody eat a Mellicup Easter egg? Magic Mart used to sell them, and then they lost their mind and quit stocking them. I don't know what happened to them. But I'm telling you, I like that. But you know what? And I know what you're saying. You're saying, are you preaching or what? I am. You ain't caught it yet, but you're going to get it in a minute. I'm going to feed you candy and then I'm going to feed you something else. But here's what it was. Them little kids go up there and I got all them marshmallow eggs there. And I was cooking as fast as I could cook out there on the grill. Some good old wholesome pork, huh? And they was eating marshmallow eggs. And when I got done, and I'm telling you, them pork chops, if you get the right ones now, y'all getting hungry yet? Huh? You get the right ones. And Sister Hildred, I can't make him little biscuits, but I can buy that barbecue bread. And you just, Sister, just put it in the oven for 5 minutes. That's the way to do it when you can't do no better. Them little kids eat that. I brought them pork chops out there, brother. Mac, they were so tender. And them kids, I ain't hungry. Now, I know how you women feel. When you cook, you want somebody to be hungry, don't you? And them kids, and you know why they wasn't hungry? How many knows why they wasn't hungry? Okay, now here is my point for 15 minutes. Why ain't you eating when you come to church? Mellicups or something worse. Ain't that right? Here we are, but you know, in order for us to be righteous, we've got to want to be righteous. We've got to have a hunger to be righteous. You know, I don't understand it, save my life, how people really, how they go out there in the world. You know, they'll hit the barroom scene. They'll get drunk as a skunk. They know they've been with somebody, but they can't remember exactly who it was. Huh? Now, I'll tell you, and then they'll go to work and say, boy, we had fun. Spent the weekend in jail, ain't got a penny to their name, and they stink. Now, yeah, now it may be a little crude, but how many knows I'm telling you right? I used to work with an old guy, for the first half of the day on Monday morning. I wanted him to work on one end of the building and me on the other. He drunk so much, it was coming out, and when he sweated, it came out of his pores. It was horrible. And they said, man, we had a good time. Well, I got news for you. I have a hard time realizing that that's a good time. But you know why they do that? They got a hunger for it and a thirst for it. Come on now. But really, our desire ought not be for the things of the world. They ought to be, amen, our desire, our hunger. How many knows a hunger? How many know? Now really, I don't know if we've really been hungry in quite a while now, really. But how many on Sunday morning? I do. I have a real internal clock about eating. That's why we have, but I mean, you know, if we'd put out on the radio, really, Brother Tommy, if we'd announce it, we usually get out at 11:30, our church would probably grow. Well, us don't do it. We don't need it like that. But people probably. But you know, I get up there and get to preaching, brother, around noon. It's something in me starts saying food, and I'm not real particular about what it is. Not really, as long as it ain't a banana. That's right. You know, but you know, our appetite is an amazing thing. And in a spiritual sense, it is an amazing thing. You know what kind of church we'd have if everybody had an appetite for holiness. But you know what I have found out across the country preaching the gospel? I have found out that the preaching that people likes the least is holiness preaching. Now you say, well, brother, is that true? Yeah, that's true. I went down to Bruce Johnson's. He pastors there in Jacksonville, Alabama. And they had a meeting, and I was preaching in the day services, and Brother Russell D. MacDonald was preaching at night. How many remembers him? Sweet Lamb of God, beloved. Huh? Y'all remember Brother Russell? He was up preaching, and you were there, and he was just going along his little message, you know, the first point, and he got to preaching a little holiness. And it tightened up on him. Now, when I say he was preaching a little holiness, he was preaching some very
really common holiness issues that, you know, that people would sit on him. And when he realized, when they held the brakes on him, I seen it coming. I know Brother Russell enough to know. Boy, got him. It really vexed him in a spiritual way. And I thought, oh, here we come. Y'all heard him tar loose here a few times, had he? Well, he backed off and he said, I'll tell you one thing right now. He said, y'all sitting there, amen, with all that looking like a holiness person on the outside, you ought to be on your feet and me preaching a little holiness. Huh? Boy, he didn't go no further. He skinned us alive. I told him, I said, I hope they don't make you mad tomorrow night. Praise God. Huh? No, really. You know what happened? He started preaching a little righteousness and people drawled up. The flesh don't want nothing to do with righteous living. They want to ride the fence and pet that old flesh. Hey, man, if it, you know, and really we call holiness preaching, a lot of times we call it the outward stuff. You know, the clothes you wear, where you wear your hair, stuff like that. But, you know, that's just a very small part of what holiness really is. Holiness, amen, is a desire in your heart to please God in your life above everything else. Amen. Are you living for yourself or are you doing everything you can? You see, if you don't have a hunger for righteousness and holy living, if you've just got a desire to go to church and justify yourself, amen, and soothe your conscience, then you're not going to live too righteous and too sanctified. But if you come to church and your heart's desire is to live as close to God as I can live, amen, then that is a hunger that the Bible said, listen to me now, the Bible said, blessed, happy is the man that has a hunger and a thirst for right living. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Now we've got thousands of denominations, and I'm not trying to be judgmental or critical, but brother, if a church does not have a theme, our goal is righteousness, then we have the wrong kind of attitude. I want you to imagine what kind of church we'd have, Brother Zane, if everybody come to church and they had a hunger for holiness. Ladies and gentlemen, inside and outside, if everybody in this house this morning came with this in mind, I'm going to get right with God when I go to church. And if I'm already right with God, I want to get closer to God. I want to get more humble. I want to get more meek. I want to get a greater hunger for right living. I want to tell you that would eliminate the fussing and the growling and the fighting and the pulling back. And, you know, just like the young brother was preaching the other night, and I guarantee you, Brother Wes, we haven't talked about it, but these people, I would say 99 9/10 of them believed everything you preached. And I know you have found that hard to believe, the way they sat back and humped up on you. But really, really, amen, if we realize just what a blessing it was to live wholeness and live right, and how that the Lord said, blessed is the man that hungers and thirsts, we really would have got up and said, that's right, preacher. You're on target. You're right on time. Can somebody say amen? Do you know what? You know what? If you're here this morning, you're lost. Now, I'm going to tell you what it was with me. And I had a bunch of buddies in school. I was the life of the party, getting class. I loved to cut up, laugh, joke with the teachers. Sometimes they didn't laugh, but you know. And I had buddies and friends, and I went places. I played sports and went to places of the world and done all of those stuff. But there come a time in my life where I wanted to be better in my heart than what I was. I was a liar, cheater, filthy mouth, dirty thoughts, sick. I was a sin-sick individual. I was. I doubt if anybody really knew how sin sick I really was. I got tired of it. So in the mornings, instead of getting up longing to go out and party or run or get into some meanness, I got up with a longing. I'd sure like to be better today. And I'll tell you where that drove me to. I got under conviction. And what that means when you get under conviction is the Spirit of the Lord deals with you and convinces you beyond your own thinking that you're not right with God and what you're doing is filthy and that you're hurting everybody around you and you really need to get saved and the only way to do it is through Jesus Christ. Huh? I mean, there's people that I love and my little mama's here and I try not to say too much around her because I never know when I get too old for her to whip. And she might back up and catch up if I tell her too much, you know. But I loved my little mommy, but it didn't keep me from doing wrong. I loved people in my life, but I wasn't honest with them. Now I know y'all think, well, what kind of pastor we got? Saved one. Huh? I was saved from my sins. And I tell you, I got to wanting to be saved. You know, when you come in here that night, you're sick of that other mess. And when you come up through here and you done made that deal with God, if this happens or that happens, and God showed himself to you, didn't he? And here you came. I remember praying with you over there. Ever how long we prayed? A good while. And I remember you looking at me and saying, Randy, I need help. You remember saying that? I need help right now. Right now. And I think I said something like, well, we're praying for you and you let me know. Now we're going to get with it. I got to have help here. And we went after it. And he prayed and prayed through and God helped him. And he still got help for him. He still got help to on down the road. It gets better and better. Can you say amen? And I want to tell you, amen, this morning, we have got to get a hunger and a thirst for what is right. You know, if you get in a situation and you have to decide whether to get bitter or let it go, if you're hungry for righteousness, I'll tell you what you'll do. You'll let it go. Quiet in here. But I've got it right. I'm going to tell you something. It was years ago. It's been several years ago, a few years ago now. I don't remember how many years, but it's been years ago now. But I'd been done in a way that I felt like that I owed it to myself to be bitter over something. Now, you may not understand what I'm saying. If you've ever been there, you know. But I just thought, and I didn't really want to be, but I felt that coming on me. And it was on early on a Sunday morning, and I was getting ready to come to church. And I know that I was going to have to get anointed. And I felt that old spirit easing in on me. And brother, I felt a panic come over me because I knowed if I was bitter and full of hate in my heart that I was not going to be able to get anointed and preach. And so I had to make a decision whether to let it go or hold on to it. And brother, I'll tell you, when I come that morning, brother Mike, I don't know how many years it's been, but when I come that morning and I stumbled out here and preached and I felt the anointing come on me, I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hey, you don't know what that means unless you're trying to preach and not have the Lord to help you. But I felt him come and I said, you know, it's going to be worth it just to let that go and I can keep my heart clean and right and feel. Amen. How about it? How about it? I'm almost done here this morning, but our lesson is this. Amen. We've got to have a hunger. You've got to have that desire. Amen. What is your desire this morning? Amen. There's several ways, and I'll deal with them as we go along on this lesson. But, brother, when we get hungry in our heart, it shows in our life. What we desire and what we crave and what we're thirsting for. Hey, amen. How many know by just being with somebody for just an hour in the day, you can realize what their thirst is for? And see, we've got a thirst for righteousness. When we get on the job, we ought to not have to work on a job. Amen, brother. Amen, Jeff. We ought to not have to work 2 years on a job before people find out that our hunger is for God and our thirst is for God to be more like him, to be better and to be forgiving and to have God's wholeness upon us. Amen. How about you? I come at you a little tough this morning. And I brought to light, and I preached to you in the preliminaries this morning on you're the man, you're the woman. There ain't nobody can keep you from being spiritual. Nobody. You say, well, you just don't know what I have to put up with. Well, I know this. Nobody, not even the devil, can keep you from being spiritual. If you have a hunger for God in spirituality, even, it's like I told y'all the other night, we started coming in the door. I told that couple that's coming in and been going through trial. I said, you know, the devil's so stupid. He gets after us and persecutes us and he runs us right into church and we just get closer to God. The devil can't keep you from being right. He might get a whole lot. He can do a lot. He might even make you sick. He might even deal with your boss man to fire you. He can do a lot of things, but he can't keep you from being right with God. And here's the key. We have got to have a life that is conducive to hunger and thirst. Just like them little kids, when they eat all that marshmallow candy, you know, they didn't. And I'll be honest with you, I love good old piece of meat, but I like sweets too. And if I eat too much of that, I lose my taste for that other. Huh? And that's what will happen to you. If we don't go to church and go faithfully and regularly, are y'all listening to me? I don't mean to bore you. But if we don't go to the house of God, see, when we come to church, the reason it's so valuable, important to us, it provokes us and incites a hunger in us to be better and do better and live better. It does. I come in here preaching. I don't want to go to a church where the preacher gets up and says, you know, God loves you just like you are. You don't have to live right. God, Jesus died for you so you'd have the liberty to do as you feel. I don't want that. I want somebody to tell me, amen, and inside a hunger in me and tell me you're this now, but you can be this if you'll seek me. He told Peter, he said, thy name is Simon, but thou shalt be Peter. You're this now, but when I get through with you, you're going to be that. Amen. And that's the way our lives are this morning. I would love for God to in put a hunger and a thirst in you, amen, for righteousness. Not for church membership, but for righteous living. Hey, God is going to honor a hunger like that. And I'm going to go into that, but there are several things that is the results of a hunger and thirst for righteousness. And going to the house of God, praying to the Lord, reading your Bible, that Bible will pull it out, make you want to do better. You read in there what our privileges are, and it makes us want to live up to those privileges. Praise the Lord. How many thinks that a man can be happy if he has a hunger and a thirst for righteousness? Right living. Holiness living. Don't matter if you're Baptist, Presbyterian, all them other. There's so many denominations I couldn't even call them all. It don't matter what brand you say you are. We ought to have a hunger for right living. And that will make our lives lights and salt, and be a blessing in this world. If we don't, if we're just like the world, and we hunger and thirst for the same things they do, then they don't really have a light to go by. That's right. All rise.